Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In book one of his Nicomachean Ethics, Aristotle is going to make a set of very important remarks, primarily, as you can see over here, in chapters 2 and chapter 7 of the work, that have to do with what we can call principles, or in our case, starting points, for moral inquiry for the field of ethics, and the issue of exactness or precision. The Greek word for that is akribes. How precise can we be in carrying out our reasonings and in drawing our conclusions? Is ethics something like some people have called it, it was a popular thing to talk about it as being a science, the science of mores or the science of duties? Is it a science in the way that, say, mathematics is a science with the same level of exactness or precision? Or is it somewhat of a looser type of inquiry? Does it have any rigor if it doesn't have that sort of exactness? These are very important questions. And this issue of principle and this issue of exactness, can they fit in together? They inform each other, as we're going to see. So where we need to start is in Aristotle's dictum that you're going to see both in the Nicomachean Ethics and also in other works, like, for example, the Topics, where he says that we should aim for the measure of exactness or precision, not of one science or discipline being the paradigm for everything, but rather in terms of the subject matter, whatever it is that discipline happens to deal with. The precision that's demanded is what the subject matter itself can allow, what it can admit of, what it permits. And he'll go on and he says that it's the mark of an educated mind, actually, to not expect more precision than is possible. So, you know, if you think about this, it's possible to be not precise enough, to be too vague, to be too general, to not get down to the level of exactness that we would like, that a subject matter admits of. And when we're talking about mathematics, which is his paradigm here for something which is very exact, that's quite a low level. You know, we can get really down to the most basic level, in part because numbers are totally commensurable with each other, and one or two is pretty much the same as any other one, isn't it? So it's easier to be very, very exact in things that are mathematizable, things that are quantitative. When we get to the realm of quality, and when we get to the realm of human agency, which is what ethics is dealing with, we're talking about something that isn't quite so exact in that sense. But it's not that its lack of exactness is due to something being wrong with the discipline itself. It's rather that we're dealing with human affairs that are always, as Aristotle is going to say, epitopolou, meaning for the most part, not always, not universally so. We have a generality rather than universality that is endemic to ethics, and the educated person is not going to expect that we can actually provide prescriptive guidelines down to the very level of action itself. We can provide general outlines, as we'll talk about in a moment. So what can we say about the subject matter of ethics? He talks about this in chapter 2, but also in other places. In chapter 2, he tells us that it has to do with these two moral values in particular. One is what we translate as the noble, to kalon, right? And we can translate that not only as the noble, but as the honorable, that which has intrinsic goodness, the beautiful, the fine. Its opposite is the ignoble or the base, the ugly, the foul, the shameful, the dishonorable. So ethics has to do with that in part. It also has to do with justice, to dikaion, or dikia. And that comprises a whole range of things as well. So ethics is a pretty broad purview, doesn't it? It deals with human affairs. And it's not just about those things. It's also about pleasure and pain. It's also about evaluating different kinds of lives against each other. It's about actions. It's about emotions. It's about choices. It's about habits. You see, we're dealing with a very wide range of human phenomena here. And all of them are pretty murky and messy, so it's unrealistic to expect us to come up with hard and fast rules that apply in every single case. I think that we can have something like a science in that respect. Does that mean that it's all totally arbitrary, that we can't have any sort of progress in understanding these matters? Aristotle says, look, what we can do is provide outlines. The word that he uses there is literally to sort of like provide the boundaries within which then we're going to color. Adult coloring books are becoming very popular, I think, in part because human beings like to do that sort of behavior. But Aristotle thinks that this is what we can do in terms of ethics. We can provide guidelines at a fairly high level of generality, understanding that there will be exceptions to them, but that they are holding for the most part, host epitopolou, like I said, in Greek. And so we can provide outlines and we can also engage in moral reasoning and come up with general conclusions. Now, when we get down to individual cases, that doesn't mean that we can't actually provide specific conclusions with some degree of exactness. However, that's always going to require that we understand and have a good judgment, have a good sense of what is going on at the particular level. So what we generalize about at the higher level may not actually work out automatically at the particular level, which is where things really happen. Individual action takes place, individual lives, relationships. There's a very important interplay there. Now, Aristotle says that these outlines can be filled in and completed. If the outlines themselves are the right kind of outlines, if they've been adequately worked out, then they can be filled in and completed by just about any person, so long as they aren't morally damaged or vicious or off. He also says, interestingly enough, that time itself, so he's talking about a kind of progress in moral inquiry, time itself helps us to fill in some of these outlines. And so from generation to generation, or perhaps from culture to culture, we may in fact arrive at a better starting point in ethics than previous people started out with. Now, this is a good point to talk about principles or starting points for moral inquiry, moral reasoning, thinking things out, you know, working out what has to happen in specific cases, deciding priorities, all the sorts of things that go into ethics. So we always have to use some starting points. We don't reason in a vacuum, and we don't just simply look at sensible particulars and immediately start off from them. We always have some basic ideas or rules or conceptions that we are using to make sense of things. So where do we get those from? Aristotle says in the Nicomachean Ethics that we get these from various means. We acquire them in different ways. I only put two on the board that are particularly interesting. And a third one that he talks about is what is called perception, aesthesis, which doesn't mean just like looking at things or smelling them or hearing them, although it does cover that. Aristotle thinks that we actually have aesthesis or perception of things like the noble and the just. He talks about that at multiple points. He also thinks that we have perception of sort of general features of situations that we're in. So it's not just sense perception, but you might say grasping what has been called the ethical salience. It's a beautiful term used by Nancy Sherman in discussing this sort of thing. Now, what we want to talk about here is not perception so much, rather, induction, epagoge, which means a process of, you know, sort of generalizing from what we observe. It's not the same thing as experience, but it goes a little bit beyond mere experience. And then, really important for ethics, habituation. For Aristotle, the principles that we need in order to engage in fully well-informed moral reasoning have to be eventually available to us through habituation. So they're not principles in the sense of a proposition that you write on the board. They're more something like a starting point that has been embodied in the fabric of your character, the fabric of your personality, so that you begin from the right point. Aristotle thinks that this is possible and, in fact, is highly desirable, because lacking that, it's going to be much harder to grasp some of the things that he is laying out in outline. So some of those outlines will require being filled in by somebody who's had the right kind of habituation. There's a lot of other issues that we could talk about here. Well, what do you do if you don't have the proper habituation? A lot of the time when we come to this, we realize, wow, I'm kind of messed up and I'd like to get less messed up. Aristotle says you've got some things to work with, but the goal is actually to increase the number and the, you might say, capacity of the principles that you're working with. So he really stresses the importance of what he calls proper upbringing. He says that, you know, you need to have some experience of life, and you want to have a wide range of experience, but experience is not enough. You need to have been brought up with some of the right habits of mind and habits of action and emotion, or you'll have to develop that over time. He also stresses something else that's very interesting as well. Maturity, he thinks, is needed in order to successfully work in ethics, in order to think through issues, in order to make sense of things. And he says that the young are not really suitable students for ethics. Ironic, since that's when we tend to teach them this sort of stuff, and we don't do it when they're older, in part because they don't have enough life experience, but also in part because they tend to be led by passion instead of by reason, by emotion instead of reason. He also says, though, that this can apply to older people. It can be the case that older people lack sufficient experience. And it may be that they've done a lot of stuff, but they didn't pay attention. So then that would mean those principles are not really available to them. It can also be the case that those people have the principles, but are not really able to work with them or act upon them, in part because they don't follow reason or those principles. Instead, they just follow their emotions. And when they do that, that typically becomes a matter of habits that are very difficult to break once you become an adult and start to consolidate them. So maturity is not nearly an issue of age, you know, number of years. It can also be a matter of one's attitude towards things, one's habitual way of doing things. All of this is important to bring back to this notion of exactness. Ethics is going to require of us that we have developed certain capacities to grasp principles that are not quite so easy and evident to grasp as, say, those of mathematics. Aristotle will say at a different point, this is why the young are great at doing mathematics, not so great at doing moral reasoning. But he might say that about many other people as well. So to go back to this, ethics does have a certain level of exactness. In order for it to really have the kind of exactness that most people want of it, it requires some personal development so that you can actually apply these things well when we get down to the level no longer of just general conclusions or principles, but the particulars among which we actually live, act, and choose.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.